I would like to just start with a testimony, though. Some of you may already know, but I went in for a procedure last Wednesday, routine procedure to see what was going on with my bladder, and they took something out that they didn't think was anything, so I didn't think too much of it. And then Thursday afternoon, I went to see my doctor for a follow-up, and he says, well, the good news is your kidney is really better than it ever was. Thank you. Yeah, how does that happen? I thought things would stay the same. He said it's better than it ever was. He said, but by the way, the thing we took away out of your bladder was cancer. But we got it all. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. Amen. I mean, we weren't even looking for it. So God knows how to protect us. And I was thinking, actually, last night as I was in prayer, and oftentimes when I wake up, I do that. I just pray. And when I feel and sense the presence of the Lord, usually my immediate response is, yes, Lord, what would you like to tell me or talk to me about? And interestingly, he said, nothing. I just want to be here with you. Tim, is that right? When you're in love with someone, you don't have an agenda. You just want to be with them. So that's really kind of cool. That's why we come to church. That's why we want to be with each other, because we know the Lord in each other as well, don't we? Well, I published a photograph online that says, when I look up into the heavens, I know from where my help comes. Creator of the universe, the creator of all things, is where I go and where I look for help. If you go to the psychiatrist, you'll probably be disappointed because they'll just send you to the pharmacy eventually. Or he may counsel you or whatever. But I remember one psychiatrist, a lead psychiatrist in New York, said to me, he says, after all is said and done, the people that get better whether we help them or not. And the people that get worse whether we tried to help them or not. That's the sum total of psychiatry. At least in medicine, it's a little better than that. But in psychiatry, that's all they can hope for. It's just trying to encourage the people to come to them and give them drugs that can help them for a while, but really don't address the real issues in our life. Well, I know that, well, from the testimony I just gave you, that sometimes I don't even know what's wrong with me. Is that right? Don't you find that's true, Joni? Yeah. Well, actually, the scripture that I was looking for says that I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that text is found in Psalm 121. So if you turn there. If you don't think you need help, you do need help. If you think you need help, then you're still on the right track. The Lord is the one who helps us. And this psalm is introduced by the fact that who is he helping but those who seek after him? I will lift up my eyes from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord. You're seeking help. You're out there looking for help. For those who seek help, those are the ones he's going to respond to. If you're not looking for it, well, he can still do it because God is God and he can do whatever he wants, right? But here in this psalm, the condition of the help that he's going to give is the fact that you have to look for it. The condition that everything follows these first two verses is that you need to look for the help of God. You have to look for him. So in everything that I see and do and taste in this world, I realize that it isn't just that. It isn't for an end purpose or goal. It is for me to know God and for God to know me as he does. And for that relationship to increase and to abound. Now he says this in the next verses. He says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. That means to me that you have confidence of where you place your feet. You know, when you watch a toddler learn how to walk, they don't have much confidence of what's going on, right? When you're out trout fishing and you're on a slippery, rocky, trout stream bed, you don't have much confidence that where your foot's going, it won't slip. So you're ready to keep your balance. But here it says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. You're going to be confident of where you place your feet. The path before you will be known to you because you seek the help of the Lord. And so you walk and you know it's God. Isn't that the kind of faith you would like to have in your life? I would, for sure. Then he says, and oh, by the way, he who keeps you will not slumber. Now, we know God doesn't sleep, but it really means something. He won't be distracted from his purpose to keep and help you. Slumber means that, oh, I don't know what's going on, and it's like, I got to go to sleep now. And there's a time and a period in which you're distracted. The Lord is never distracted from you. He will never turn away and find what's happening in Washington more important. You are his focus. That's what he's saying. He will never slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. This is what he's saying, really. He who keeps the nation, you are not too small a prize for him. Why should he care about me? He's saying, he who keeps Israel will never slumber. So he's saying to you, it doesn't matter who you are or how small you think you are in a cog of this thing called society and this world, he is focused on you. Can take you from the pit and into a place where you need to be under his watchful eye. The Lord is your keeper. A keeper is someone who isn't just looking out for you, but he is watching you and he's overseeing what's going on. A keeper. He is your keeper. Aren't you glad? The one who watches out and over you. And here's a good one. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. That doesn't make much sense for those who are not in agricultural society, but when you're out in the hot sun, your hand, your whole body can get too warm and very uncomfortable. Your right hand is the one that does the work, accomplishes things in your life. And the Lord says, he's the shade for your right hand. Wouldn't you like to have that, Brad? Yeah, when you're out there working, he says that's true. When things get hot, when things get that warm, he will be your shade. He's the one who's going to give you relief. Then he says the sun will not strike you by day, which means even when it gets brutally hot, things get really rough, you will be spared a direct hit. Boy, that's a great song. I like it already. Nor the sun by day, but nor by the moon by night. Even in the dead of night, you will not be overcome. That's what it's really saying. In the daytime, you're awake and you seem like have your wits about you. But at night, you're half asleep and you don't. The enemy comes and he's like, you're afraid and there's fear that comes in the night. That's a scriptural reference for that. He says, you will not be overcome even in the dread of night. Isn't that good? You can pray when you go to sleep, Lord, protect me from dreams, from nightmares. You know, if you have a nightmare, wake up. Rebuke it. Walk away from it. Think about something else. Read a scripture. Start praying for me. The Lord is not distracted from you. Next verse, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Wow. Suddenly we're taken out of the realm of circumstances of life, the sun and the moon, preserving your walk, getting you to know, making the right choices. Suddenly we're taken from that place to a whole new realm of in the spirit. And we suddenly realize that we're not just fighting against things and circumstances and trying to make the right choice. The enemy himself, Satan, is involved in this, and all the demons that he has at his disposal would like to take you out. He want to take me away. The Lord says, it's not his time yet. Time out. Not going to happen. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. No evil will come to you. Doesn't belong to you. It doesn't. God's saying, if there's a circumstance in your life, the evil will not overcome you. He'll preserve you, protect you. That's what it means. More than that, it's the idea that evil will avoid you. When you walk into a really bad place, the evil kind of pushes itself away from you and says, I don't like this guy. I don't like this girl. We know their prayers, and they come to the gates of hell, and they're pushing them away. Do you believe that? I don't know. You need to have faith to see what's going on in the heavenly realm. You're not just making right choices and bad choices in your life. There's an enemy who wants to devour you, and the way you do that is to seek the Lord's help. That's the condition of the psalm, to seek the Lord. I know from where my help comes, I look to the hills. The hill in the high places is saying, I'm looking to the creation, because I know that speaks of the majesty and the all-powerful God that he is. See, you may lose your step. You may lose your way. He never will. And since you are now covered by him, you never will. Oh yeah, you can make a mistake, and it may seem like you falter, but in God, he can make all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Makes all things work together for good as he weaves a pattern of your circumstances of your life. Some of them might have been quite terrible. Some of them might have been quite painful. But he can weave that pattern into a beautiful fabric of creation. You know what he says to me often? He says, I love you. Why should he love us? Why should he love me in particular? Why should he focus his attention on me? Worry about Israel. Worry about the United States of America. Why don't you? How about the Republican Party? How about the Democrats? Let's pray for them. You know what? Let me take a time out here, because I do pray for them. I pray for world peace, but I pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding. I pray for the kingdom of God to enter the hearts of men, not for just peace, which is just a lack of war, but for the peace between them and God, which can only come by their knowledge of Christ, can only come as they seek his refuge. There's a time when the U.S. Congress actually went home, shut their doors, and walked away and says, we need to get home to our families. And there was a big meteor shower that night before that, and they thought, the end has come. That's it. We need to go home. Seek the Lord. I think today they would think it was a trick. And they wouldn't go home at all. But those who seek the Lord, he will do all of these things to protect them. The next verse, he shall preserve your soul. So it isn't just about you physically. Your very being will be protected. Your psyche, your emotions will be protected. That's a part of the psalm people overlook. He's going to preserve your soul, not just your body, not just the circumstances you're in, they find you difficult or not difficult, but he's going to take that which is you inside that will last forever, and he's going to preserve it. You know, it's interesting, when Lewis and Clark went for their journey across the United States, they made notations in the maps, and they never taught in history, but notations in the map that says, we just went to the Sioux Nation, we found 150 souls here. And say we found 150 people here, we found 150 residents here, or 150 habitat, or inhabitants, 150 souls. People knew then that you weren't just a physical being, that you were a person inside. Where has that gone? Lord, save us. This psalm has so much to talk to us about, that there's real evil, there's a real protector, there's a real soul, which he knew before you were born. He will protect forever. Finally, says the Lord, shall preserve your going out, your coming in. Well, that's good, because most of us don't know how to do either one. I don't know. What should I do next? I remember the first wedding that I officiated at. I said, I don't know how to do this. The Lord says, yeah. That's right, you don't. But he will preserve your going out and your coming in. He will do it. And when I got there and I started going through the scriptures, I said, why should I be afraid of this place? The Lord's here. Amen. From when to when? From this time forth and forevermore, you're going to be protected. He will shelter and protect you. The Lord is our help. Don't lose sight of that. Don't think somehow it's your decisions. Don't think somehow it's your prayer even or your worship. The Lord is the one who brings and protects you in these situations that you find yourself in. Not just you physically, but your soul, your very being, your spirit. So let's go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapters 40 and 41. That'll be our assignment, to read both of those chapters. They're really good. I could read them over and over again. But it says this, have you not known? Have you not heard? And the answer to those questions today is probably most people haven't known and haven't heard. But those people in this room have known and heard. The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth, never faints. He neither faints, nor is he weary. He also tells us not to be weary, doesn't he? But he never faints. He never is weary of what? Performing what he told us he would do in Psalm 121. So you can say, if I were the Lord and I said something, anything, any one of those verses in Psalm 121, I would have said, looking over the body of Christ, I'm getting weary of this. In fact, in the Old Testament, he said that to Moses, you know, I'm weary of this people. And Moses said, no, this isn't the God I know. What are you talking about? You promised. That's what God wanted to hear. He wanted to hear from Moses his own heart, that is God's heart, that he wasn't about to give up on the people and the nation of Israel. And he's not about to give up on you. He's not weary of your antics. My wife becomes weary of my antics. No, right? Come on. Be honest. Sure. I get weary of my antics. I say, oh, when will I be delivered of this craziness? When will I learn to stop and think and come and ask of the Lord instead of just doing something like a reaction? When will I watch the news and actually pray while I'm watching the news? He says his understanding is unsearchable. Isaiah says that. It means that you can't understand his understanding. Why? Because this is why. This is what you can't never, you will never understand this. You can participate in it, and we do participate in it, but you really not know the full impact of who God is, because it's not understandable. He just does this. He says he gives power to the weak. I wouldn't give power to the weak. I give power to those that I see promise in. I give power to the ones that have talent. And the Lord says, that's just not it. It's not it. It's not where I'm going. Those souls that are the weak souls, there's the ones that I want to go to. Yeah. There's no understanding in that, in the natural. That isn't in politics. It isn't in world civilization or civics 101. It's not there. And those who have no might, he increases strength. So you don't have any power? You feel like you're powerless, weak? Well, praise the Lord. Look to the heavens, look to the hills from whence your power comes. For it says this, you want to know what the guys that are strong, the ones that wins the Olympic gold medals? He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Have you seen that happen? Even the brightest tennis star will soon be beaten. Who's the Johnny come lately? The young men shall utterly fall. Their step will not be known. Was not sure at all. But those who wait on the Lord, what does that mean, wait on the Lord? That means to have patience with the answer the Lord is going to give you. It may not be readily apparent what the Lord is doing in the circumstances and in your life, in your soul, and bringing you forth as the man and woman of God who you are. But those who wait upon the Lord, who are patient with the Lord, they shall renew their strength. That's a good scripture. Now I understand what it means. You know, that person, that God that I look for my help, he looks for the weak and the faint in heart, because he will never be weak and faint of heart. And he will be their strength in any circumstances that they face. Did you ever read some of the stuff that Corrie Ten Boom writes? And she was in the Nazi concentration camps and doomed to die and be executed. She writes stuff that's just incredibly strong and powerful. More powerful than most preachers that I've ever heard. How could she do that? Because she was in a weak place and the Lord made her strong. Because of her weakness, her soul did not have strength, but the Lord gave her soul strength because she could wait upon the Lord. And the Lord delivered her physically out of that circumstance, miraculously, if you read her testimony. I think I'm going to go back and read it again. It's a wonderful one. Well, they're going to be strong, but how are they going to be strong? I want to be strong like, don't even go there, like a Ford F-150, like Brad's backhoe. No. No, you're going to be strong like this. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. If you ever see an eagle fly, their wings do all the work, but they're not flapping them, and rarely do. But they catch the current of the wind. And within just a minute and a half at the most, they can go from where I can almost touch them, and I've seen this with my own eyes, to the deck of the clouds, which is 4,000 feet up, which is almost a mile. And I'm like saying, what the heck is going on? It would take me 20 minutes to get home in my car, burning all that fossil fuel. And the eagle just does it. Their strength is like they have learned to be dependent upon the power of the wind, of the Holy Spirit. They shall run and not be weary. The people of God are going to be able to sprint and not get tired of it. The six-year-old grandson can do that. Well, he gets tired too. But you're going to be able to run and not be weary. In our glorified bodies, that's going to happen for sure. They shall walk and not faint. That means you're not going to be tired of walking. You're not going to say, I've had it with this life. I've had it with this job. There's a couple of country and western songs about that. I don't like this government. I've had it. No. They shall walk and not faint. Let me end with this. I know this isn't very long today, but there's a lot of things we're going to do. The Lord encouraged Joshua over and over again in the first chapter. He says, only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Over and over and over again. My sister said to me, so were you strong? Were you brave? And my answer was immediately, no. Well, you might have been shocked by that answer, but I wasn't. Because, see, the Lord knew something that I'm just seeing. Is that the reason God told Joshua, an able-bodied warrior and one who was successful in God, was because he was not courageous. The reason he had to be told to be courageous is because he wasn't. The reason he was told to be strong, because he was weak. Why would God say to be strong and courageous if he didn't need it? So, well, I will never be a Joshua. That's a good start. That's what Joshua said. Basically, I'll never be able to do this. And the Lord says, no. Only be strong and courageous. Not in yourself, not in your own abilities, not in your strength, not in the power of your will, not in some faith prayer, but in the Lord himself, who is your salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Good message. I think that's a good message for me. So, Father, we thank you this morning that we can come to you and lay down at your feet all of the trophies that we have ever gained. They're worthless. All the accomplishments, all the things that we think we are, how smart we are, or how we have done things, what trick we have done. None of it means anything to you. When we look to the heavens and we look to your creation, we see so much more. And yet we're only seeing with our eyes. If we see you in the Spirit, we see the utter ridiculousness of the ways of men. It's no wonder they're in a pit. It's no wonder we need to be rescued. It's no wonder we need the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask you to come today and rescue us. Let your Son, the Savior, come and save us from who we are. Save us from our own abilities, doing what's right in our own eyes. We'd only do what's right in our own eyes, we would be like sheep led astray because we're doing what's right in our own eyes. Even if it were successful, it's not a success. But if we do what's right in your eyes, it will be eternal. It will not fade or shrink or wash away. It will be like a house that's built upon the rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. We thank you for your help and mercy this day. In Jesus' name, amen.